at 6:30, 6:33 now, and the gas got from 15 to 21 minutes. Not longer than 21 minutes. In the mic,
thank you. Well, first of all, I would like to welcome everyone for today's Muslim Christian Dialogue. I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to Matt Slick. I am sure it's not easy taking time off from his busy schedule to conduct this debate. And I hope this is the beginning of a meaningful relationship in which we can, have more discussions like this. The concept, the discussion for today's topic is God in Islam and Christianity. And let me start off by telling you what do we as Muslims believe in regards to God. Muslims only believe in one God. It is the same God as worshipped by Jews and Christians. And it is the same God of Isaac. It is the same God of Abraham. The same God of Ishmael and of all the prophets. And this one God has no partners or associates. There are no co-gods as God. And nothing is worthy of worship except for God. Now, when I say one God, I feel like I need to quantify what exactly I mean by one God, because different religions have different views of who and what that one God is. If we look at the history of religion today, going back to the most ancient times, we find that there is a predominant recurring view, and that is a belief and practice of man-worshipping. And man-worshipping is basically believing that God is or was some human being which walked upon this earth, and not just human being, but man, woman, or child is God which walked upon this earth. Not only do we find man-worshipping, but we also find examples of animal-worshipping, the belief that God is some animal which walked on this earth. And even we find examples of half-man, half-animal type deities. And let me give you an example of a few of some man gods which were worshipped inside different religions. If we look at the religion of Buddhism, we see there that that some denominations of Buddhists believe that Buddha is actually God who came in the flesh of a man. Inside the Hindu religion, they have several avatars, and these are basically God taking the form of human beings and walking upon the earth. And there's several avatars in the Hindu religion. Some example of some female gods, female human gods, is that of Semiramis. Semiramis is the god inside Greek and Roman mythology, and she was basically viewed as the mother of God, and she was actually a fertility goddess. She gave birth to all of the human gods that were related to Nimrod. Some examples of some animal gods, we go back to the Hindu religion, we see that there is a belief in a god which has the head of an elephant and the body of a man, and this god is called Ganesh. So here's an example of a half-human, half-animal type god. And when we look in Christianity, we see the same thing. We see the same element of man-worshipping, because according to the Christian belief, God took the form of a human being, which was Jesus, and walked upon the earth. So they also have this element of man-worshipping. But when it comes to Islam, Islam clearly negates and denies any type of man-worshipping or any form of man-worshipping, whether it's man, woman, or child. And not only that, but Islam negates any kind of animal-worshipping and clearly states that no man, human, or animal is God. And it has come to abolish this belief and practice. Therefore, the main focus of Islam is to pull people away from these other entities of worship, these other human gods, other man gods, and to pull people away from these false gods and bring them to the one true supreme God, which is the God of Abraham. And this message is not something new. Rather, all the messengers of God came to teach the same noble truth. Worship one God without any partners. You have none other. Now, Muslims also believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, Islam and Christianity are the only two religions which make it an article of faith to believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus Christ was one of the mightiest messengers of God, that he was born miraculously, and that he was the Messiah as prophesied. And he did the miracles by God's permission. He healed those who were born blind and the lepers by God's permission. But Jesus Christ himself was a human being. He was a messenger of God, and he did not come to this earth to claim that he was God or that he was somehow involved in a trinity. This was not his message. And there's a quotation inside the Bible, and I'm sorry, inside the Quran, in which God asks Jesus, did he ever claim to be God? And this is what Jesus responds inside Surah 5, verse 117. Never did I say to them aught except worship you, God, never did I say to them aught except what you, God, did command me to say, which is, worship God, my Lord and your Lord. This is the true message of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the main difference between Islam and Christianity, that the Christians believe that they have exonerated Jesus to the level of God. And when I see this belief of man worshiping inside Christianity, it's not something which surprises me, because as I just stated, if you look back in history of the ancient religion, you will find the same belief, and this is in my view the same mistake which many religions have made before, that when they have exonerated and venerated their religious teacher, their priest, to the level of God. Therefore, it doesn't surprise me to see the element of man-worshipping in the Christian tradition, because this is simply history repeating itself. Now, let me bring up another point of contrast. There is a verse in the Quran which clearly says, in Surah 112, verse 4, that there is none co-equal or comparable unto him. No man, woman, or anything in the universe can be equal to God. This is another belief of the Muslims. And now, to help clarify this point, let me pause here for a second and let me ask you, what is the difference between me and God? Who could tell me? Well, probably you would think, well, God's all-knowing. Of course, I'm not all-knowing. I barely graduated out of high school. And then we know that God is all-powerful. Well, I'm not all-powerful. I can barely bench my own weight. God is self-sufficient, meaning God does not need to eat, he does not need to drink. Of course, I need to eat and drink or else I will be dead. And God is eternal, meaning God has no beginning and no end. God has always existed. There was never a time when God did not exist. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that these qualities which I've been rattling off, God's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's self-sufficient, God is eternal, these are all the attributes of God. And what we as Muslims say is that man is not equal to God in any of his attributes. We are all miserably inferior to God. This is one of the beliefs of Islam. Now there's a verse in the Bible which I wanted to bring up. Inside Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. Now over there it talks about a Jewish priest called Melchizedek. And inside here it says that about the priest Melchizedek, he is without father or mother or genealogy, and has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. So here what we see inside the Bible is that inside this passage of the Bible that this priest Melchizedek, and not only him but Jesus, they are eternal. They have no beginning or end. But that means that God didn't even create this man Melchizedek. Melchizedek has always simultaneously existed next to God, side by side. And this is what Islam has came to correct these ideas of making man equal to God in any of his attributes. So basically, Islam negates this, the belief in whether it's Melchizedek, whether it's Jesus, or any human being, making them equal to God or comparable to God in God's attributes. No man is eternal like God or share in any of his attributes. Now, let me briefly turn my attention to the Christian understanding of God, which is the Trinity. A Trinity basically states that the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and they are not three gods, but one God. This is what Trinity basically states. Now, there's a brief passage in the Bible, and in that passage you'll see that there is Jesus is on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus cries out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now let's just pause here for a second. I think anyone with common sense can see inside this passage of the Bible that there are more than one God here. There are two gods. You got the one God on the cross, and then you got the one God up in heaven. And not only are there two gods inside this passage of the Bible, but the two gods have engaged in an argument. One God is complaining to the other God, God, why did you leave me up here? So therefore, what my point here is that the Bible clearly presents and teaches two different gods. But it tells people to believe in one God. Just believe in one God anyways. That is the understanding of Trinity. That is Trinity put in its most simplest form. Trinity then basically is worshiping two gods in relation to God and Jesus, but just tell yourself that you are worshiping one. And I tell you what, if you repeat something enough times, there's one God there, even though you see two, eventually, if you repeat something enough times, you will eventually start believing in it. And that is what Trinity is. Let me give you an example which helps, I think, clarify this point. Out in my driveway, I have two motor vehicles. I have a BMW automobile, and I have a motorcycle. Now, if I were to sit here and look at my two motor vehicles and just keep telling myself, no, there's one motor vehicle there, one motor vehicle there, I keep doing that, eventually I'll start believing it, even though I see two. And then if I go to my neighbor, and I ask him, how many motor vehicles do I have? He will say, well, you have two motor vehicles. You have your BMW right there, and you got your motorcycle. But if I were to tell him, no, there's only one motor vehicle. There's only one motor vehicle there. He would probably get very frustrated with me, and he'd probably grab me and drag me to my driveway and say, look, you got two motor vehicles here. You got your BMW right here, and you got your Honda motorcycle right here. One, two. There, I just proved it to you that you have two motor vehicles. Now, dear, if I am wrong, please tell me, give me the proof and evidence that no, there are not two motor vehicles there, there's only one. That's probably what he would say to me, and I probably would not be able to show him the proof that there is one motor vehicle in my driveway. Now, let's take the same common sense to the Bible, to this passage of the Bible. There are two gods there. You got the God up in heaven, and you got the God on the cross. Anyone can see there are two gods there. Therefore, I would like to pose the same question to Reverend Matt Slick, which is, Reverend, if I am wrong that there are not two gods on that page in the Bible, then what is your proof and evidence that there is only one God there? So that is my friendly challenge to Reverend Matt Slick. Therefore, the Bible clearly does present two different gods, but it just tells you, in spite of that, just believe in one God anyways. And when the Christian comes to me and tells me that he believes in one God, what I respond to him is that I sincerely believe and respect your views and your beliefs, that you believe in one God, that you may think you believe in one God, but in reality, you believe in more than one God. Therefore, what Trinity is, it is basically believing in one God, in more than one God, excuse me. And this is not the message of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not come here to say, oh, by the way, I am God, my Father is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and we are not three gods but one God. This is not his message. And rather, he came to teach the same monotheism that Abraham believed in, that Moses believed in, that all the prophets believed in. And these prophets didn't worship Jesus. These prophets never claimed they had any other God or any other kind of Trinity God. So this is not the belief of Abraham either. Therefore, in conclusion to my discussion, I brought up, I believe, 5 points. I just would like to reiterate. I told you that basically Islam believes in one God. It is the same God, which is that of Abraham. Islam denies any kind of man worshiping in any form or animal worshiping. And it brings people away from the worship of these other human beings. It doesn't matter whether they're Buddha or Melchizedek or anyone, and it brings them to the worship of the one true supreme God. Islam also believes in Jesus. We believe that Jesus was the messenger of God, the prophet of God. Number four, Islam teaches that there is nothing in the universe or man or woman, which is equal to God in any way, in any of his attributes. We are all miserably inferior compared to God, which of course contrasts what the Bible teaches about Melchizedek. And then number five, lastly, I brought up the point about how the Bible does teach and present more than one God, but just tells people to believe in one God. And I extended a friendly challenge to Matt Flick to please show us the proofs and evidence that there are not two gods there, that there is only one God. So in conclusion to my short presentation, I would like to read to you a verse from the Quran. It says in chapter 3, verse 64, O people of the scripture, Jews and Christians, come to a word that is just between us and you, that we worship none but Allah, which is God, and that we associate no partners with him, and that none of us shall take others as lords besides God. Then if they turn away, say, bear witness that we are Muslims. Muslims are ones who submit to the one and true God. So with these words, I would like to turn over the mic to the moderator. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ahmed. That was wonderful there. Alright, so actually, this is supposed to come until 6:54. So now it's 6:49. Okay, Matt, I just want to give you the reason why I balance Christian prayers. If you read these six, look at these six. You see, he told you, Matt, leave the room. Matt, don't disturb it. Matt, I will close the room. So that's one of the reasons why I did balance him. That's number one. Number two is very disrespectful person. And we need to keep this discussion and the conversation in here. And he is a big basher. He killed the Prophet Muhammad. No one more than killed the Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Jesus. You see? So we need to keep it in clean. So mature discussion. Now it's 6:50. You guys, from 10 to 15 minutes, not longer than 21 minutes. Mike is yours now.
All right, well, thank you very much. And I hope that this is a good, productive time. And as I say these words, it occurs to me suddenly that I need to pray. And so, since you open the room with hearing the Quran, I'll open up my discussion with prayer. Very brief. And then I will tackle the issues. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would be glorified in this, and Jesus, that you would open up the hearts and the minds of those who do not know you, do not know the truth of who you are. Lord, the enemy is a lie. Please defeat him. I would thank them to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This reason, you have said that you would believe in the same God as the Jews and the Christians. You said you believe in the same God that Abraham worshipped. No, you and I, or Muslims and Christians, do not believe in the same God. The God of Christianity is a Trinity. The God of Islam is not. They are different in nature. They are different in essence. The God of Christianity became incarnate, the Word, that is, which was God and was with God, John 1:1, became incarnate, became one of us, that we might be able to touch him, to understand him, to see him, to see a truthful and perfect representation of who God really is. So we would not have to go through a mere book, but know Jesus Christ personally. This is not the same God of Islam. We do not serve the same God. Now, Abraham saw God. You say that God, the God of Islam, cannot even be seen. But the Bible said, and you quoted the Bible. So therefore, I'm assuming that you are trusting it, because otherwise you would not quote it. Genesis 18:1. Now, Yahweh, that's the name of God, appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Genesis 18:1, that's where God appeared to Abraham. Exodus 6:2 and 3. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. So God himself tells us that he appeared to Abraham. Jesus says, no man has ever seen the Father at any time. They were not seeing the Father, but they were seeing God Almighty. They were seeing the Word, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. Now, for this reason, you cited various false theological systems, ideas of half-animal, half-human kind things. I would stand in agreement with you that they are false. I would debate with you on that and against them that they are false, that they are not real, they do not exist, they are not of God. But that has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is not some pagan idea. Christianity is the relation of God. Christianity is the true God of Abraham. The God of the Old Testament says, let us go down and confound our language. Let us make man in our image. In Zechariah, God says, and God is speaking, he says, and they will look upon me whom they have pierced. He's giving a prophecy about how he himself will be pierced. And who was pierced? That Jesus on the cross. The Old Testament is full of the idea of the incarnation of God. I can go through many, many verses like this in the Old Testament where God says that he will be one of us so that he might bear our sins and become the one who would deliver us from damnation. And all who do not have Jesus, as Jesus says, will be lost, will go to hell. The main focus of Islam is to pull people away from the false gods, to the one true supreme God who does not have any partners. Well, when you say the word partners, I understand that you mean kingdom, because that is what Islam teaches, that you can have no other partners with God, and that to believe that is shirk. There's unforgivable sin. Well, funny thing is, God himself says us. God himself says he will be pierced. God himself is the one who appears to Abraham as God Almighty. And Jesus, the great teacher, the great one, said that no one has ever seen the Father, that they were seeing God Almighty. So who were they seeing again? How do you know that you're not guilty of what it is you're trying to avoid? When you do not want anyone to serve a false God, how do you know that you are not serving a false God yourself? How do you know? Will you trust the sayings of Muhammad down in the Quran? That is what you're trusting. That's it. I'm trusting Jesus Christ, who claimed to be God. John chapter 8, verses 58 through 59. I'll get to that in a little bit. He's the one who claimed to be God. He's the one who walked on water. He rose from the dead. He calmed an ocean, a storm with a command. He raised others from death. And he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but by me. Not by Muhammad, not by Moses, but by me. Jesus points to himself as the one that you must go to. And Paul the Apostle even says, Peter even says in Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven by which a man may be saved other than Jesus. You cannot have your sins forgiven other than Jesus. This is the Jesus you say that you believed in. But you know what? Sorry, let us reason, but you do not believe in the Jesus of the Bible. You believe in the Jesus of the Quran imposed upon the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible claims to be God. If you were to go to Exodus, the Old Testament, what Moses himself wrote, Exodus chapter 3, Moses is speaking to God, and he says, and who are you? What is your name? Who shall I say has sent me to the people of Israel? And God says, say, I am that I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God said, I am. And the Greek translation by the Jews of that verse is the present tense, I am. The Jews understood that God was saying, I am, not I will be what I will be, or I have to be something, or I will be. He said, I am. That's what the Jews in 200 BC translated this in what's called the Septuagint version. I am that I am. Jesus said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up on to throw at him. They wanted to kill him for saying that. John 10:30-33, he says, I and the Father are one. They pick up stones again to throw at him. And he said, many good works the Father I have shown you. For which of these are you stoning me? And they said, for a good work we are not stoning you, but you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. We know that Jesus claimed to be God. We also know that the Jews did not agree with Jesus. They said, you are claiming to be God. And the Jews denied that Jesus was God in flesh. Let us reason. You also, like those Jews, agree with those Jews that Jesus is not God in flesh. But Jesus did say, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. As he put the wrong title of God himself from Exodus 14, before Abraham was, I am. And they want to kill him for saying that. It is those who stumble over Jesus. Those are the ones who say he is not who he said he was. Jesus willing to receive worship. And he even said it in Matthew chapter 4. He said, worship God only. But yet he willingly receives worship. Matthew 2, 2, 2, 11, 14, 33, 28, 9, John 9, 35 through 38. And even the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, quotes God saying that all the angels of God worship Jesus. And God himself even calls Jesus God. And Hebrews 1:8. Now, I am impressed that you began understanding the Trinity. Most Muslims I've spoken with do not adopt the Trinity. But you got it half right, and I mean no disrespect. But I mean that you did pretty well when you said that the Trinity states that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one God, not three gods. That is correct. Each of the three persons is the totality of them all, is the one God. It's like time. Time, the whole of time is past, present, and future. The past, the present, and future are three aspects, two parts of the whole, and each one part is not the whole. And it's not three times, there's only one thing called time, which has three parts. And this is what God is like, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's great. Then he went and he said, he quoted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He quoted this with Jesus on the cross. And he replied that Jesus then is a God, and that there is a God in the heavens. Well, this would then go against the doctrine of the Trinity, which you stated earlier, is not three gods but one. So you are, in a sense, contradicting yourself, and what you say is the understanding, or your understanding, of the doctrine of the Trinity. Now, let us reason. I would hope that you would be willing to study a certain doctrine within Christianity. And here's the doctrine, the hypostatic union. It is that the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:1-14. It says, John the Apostle, who knew Jesus personally, wrote this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and it was God. The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John sort of stated that the Word, which was God, became flesh. Therefore, Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus has two natures. He's both human and divine. He's both God and man. He's both human and divine. This is basic Christian doctrine. This is why Jesus, according to Hebrews 2:9, who was made for a little while lower than the angels, and according to Galatians 4:4, was made under the law, would, therefore, as a good Jew, under the law, and as a man, call the Father his God. It does not mean that he is not also divine in his own self, because the person of the Word is not the person of the Father, and is not the person of the Holy Spirit. And let us reason, you need to study this doctrine of the Trinity if you want to critique it and condemn it, because if you understand this, and you understand the hypostatic union, you would understand that your question, that question of, my God, why have you forsaken me, is a basic question that's long ago been answered. This is basic Christianity. There are no two gods. That goes against the Bible. The Bible clearly tells us in Isaiah 43:10, 44:6, 44:8, 45:5 that there is only one God. Jesus was a good Jew who believed only in one God. But yet John the Apostle calls him God. Thomas calls him God when he says to Jesus in John 20:28, the Lord of me and the God of me. Speaking to Jesus, did Jesus correct him for saying that? No, he did not. Did Jesus correct everybody when they worshipped him? No. But he willingly received what was due him. He even said to the Father, John 17:5, may I have the glory, Lord, give me the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. Glorify me with the glory I had with you. He's laying claim to the glory of God before the foundation of the universe itself, meaning that Jesus Christ is the one who was there first, there before, and he seeks the glory that belongs both to God. This is the man, Jesus Christ, that you say you believe in, but yet you deny that he receives the same glory. He even says in John 5:20-22, you to honor him even as you honor the Father himself. Jesus is the one who said, before Abraham was, I am, claiming the divine title for himself. Jesus in the Bible is the one who receives worship, and it is called God, and does not rebuke anybody for doing that. Jesus is the one who says that He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that's John 14:6, incidentally. You said, if I am wrong, if there are not two gods, then what is your proof that there's only one God? The proof that there's only one God is the Bible itself, which teaches that there is only one God. You can read it in Isaiah chapters 43 through 45 as an example. And the fact that Jesus Christ called the Father his God does not mean that Jesus Christ is not divine, because of the doctrine of the hypostatic union, which teaches that Jesus has two natures. He is both divine and human. As the Bible says, the Word which was God became flesh. God and flesh. This is what John the Apostle teaches. Paul confirms this when he says in Colossians 2:9, for in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. So he is known and taught as being both divine and human in the Bible. That this says. Now, in conclusion, you said, Islam also believes in Jesus? I would say, which Jesus? The Jesus of Islam or the Jesus of the Bible? Because they're different. The Jesus of Islam is not God in flesh, does not have two natures, did not die on the cross. But the Jesus of the Bible did claim to be God. He did die on the cross, and he did rise from the dead. You said no one is equal to God, neither man nor creature. I agree with that. Jesus is not merely a man. He is the Word, which was God, that became flesh. The Bible does not teach and present more than one God, is what you said. I agree with you. It does not. And there's no contradiction in the Bible at all. I will close with this. In Exodus 3:14, when Moses said to God, what is your name? Who are you? God says, you shall say, I am that I am. That's my name is. Jesus says in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And he says just a few verses later, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus was claiming to be divine in his own self and nature. And if you believe what Jesus says, then you believe he is the I am who spoke to Moses. And you will believe that you will die in your sins unless you believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh. Who then is teaching the true God? The Muslim or the Christian? The Christian who follows Jesus, who rose from the dead, who walked on the water, who claimed to be divine in his own self? Or the Muslim who thought that Muhammad said about Jesus, as opposed to those who knew Jesus personally and wrote what he said down? I will trust those who personally knew Christ, who wrote what he said, and I'll trust Christ before anybody else. And you need to do the same thing. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Okay.
Okay, assalamu alaikum, peace to you all. Thank you, Matt, for your presentation. We really appreciate that. Okay, now we're going to have a 30 minutes between you and Nader. These 30 minutes will be questions and answers between both of you. Okay, so Nader, do you want to start or no? 30 minutes or more, so whatever you guys decide, you know? Okay, so Nader, you ask. Mr. Matt's question, and you will answer you guys, so we keep the conversation this way for 3 minutes or more debate in both of you. Okay, now that the mic is yours, we need to keep the conversation in the topic, you know. So it's neither Mr. Matt, for example, if you ask another question, he has to answer you in the question in the same topic, not on another topic. And the same thing also for you, if he asks a question, please try to answer him in the same topic, not on another topic. So we make it clear, and so both of us, a Christian, Muslim, or Jew, can be benefit from the conversation. Okay, now, take the mic first.
I apologize, but as we were speaking, I had to take care of my kids. I missed the last minute of what it is you said. I'm babysitting my kids and some other kids. They're great, it's just I have to go take care of something. No disrespect, man. I just did not get what you said. I apologize for that. Could you repeat that? So, or whatever you want to do is fine. You know, I think we're going to just go back and forth, ask each other questions, talk, or we're going to have people ask us questions until I can do that. Have someone ask us questions, and then we can respond. Someone asks me a question, I can respond for 2 minutes, and he can respond for one. And if someone asks me a question, we respond for two, I respond for one. Or whatever. Whatever you want to do. But I apologize for not hearing what you said, because this is maybe some things like it.
Okay, what I said that Nadab will ask you questions and you answer him, and you ask him questions and he will answer you for the next 20 minutes. And we need to keep the questions and the answer in the same topic so we can, so all of us as a Christian and Muslim or whatever can benefit from the topic. Okay, Nadab, the mic is yours and you can ask Nadab a question.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, Matt. I had just a few questions for you. You made the statement that Muslims and Christians do not believe in the same God because Christians believe in a Trinity, a triune God, which of course we as Muslims, we reject, that Jesus is not God, nor did he ever claim to be involved in a Trinity. Do I understand that right? I'll give you the mic.
That's correct. The nature of the Christian God is not the same as that of the Muslim God, correct?
Well, then, if that logic is true, then Jews and Christians also don't believe in the same God either, because Jews also don't believe in Trinity.
That's right, and they need Jesus like anybody else does. They're not excluded from the requirement to come to the Messiah just because they're Jews.
Okay, so I guess really, the Muslims and Christians, I mean, Muslims and Jews, we believe in the same God, but it's Christians who, I guess, have a different understanding of God, therefore we don't believe in the same God. But I would disagree, because how I would answer that question is yes and no. Because if you look at the Trinitarian formula, it says the Father is God, Jesus is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. We agree that Jesus is not God, and the Holy Ghost is not God. But that last God, which is mentioned in the Trinity, the Father God, when I look at the Quran, I think that is the same God which we follow. So we believe in one out of the three gods of the Christian religion.
You just committed the fallacy of equivocation, and you're changing the meaning of words as you're using them. You quote the Trinity, and then you do not use the Trinity definition the way the word is meant. And you got it right once before, you just be consistent. When you said the Trinity is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you agree, you said, with the Jews, that Jesus is not God and the Holy Spirit is God, but you said that we follow the last one, the same God, the Father, and we do not teach that Jesus, God, the Father, is a God. So you're what you're doing is not understanding the Christian doctrine of the Trinity and misapplying the question to the issue. God in Christianity is part of the Holy Spirit. The Word is the Son in flesh. The Word was with God and was with God. We do not believe in the same God. We do not. You and I do not. And neither do the Jews. They need Jesus just like everybody else. The Jesus who rose from the dead and claimed to be God in flesh. Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, I feel like I understand Trinity pretty well. It's just that I don't buy it. I don't believe that they're all one God. I've never seen any proof or evidence for it. But let me go to the next point. You know, I guess you were trying to show that there was a Trinity in the Bible and stuff like that. You know, I think we agree pretty much on most of what I said. It's just that we phrase things differently. For example, the challenge which I posed to you was that when we look at the Bible clearly presents two different gods. You didn't have to go in and tell him and make mention of all the verses which show Jesus is God. That's given to you. But what my point is, it shows two different gods. But the Bible tells you, in spite of seeing two different gods, just believe they are one. And I gave an analogy. That analogy was like looking at my BMW and my motorcycle. There are two motor vehicles there. Now, if I were to go up to someone and tell him, no, there's only one motor vehicle there, you have to believe it, most likely he's going to challenge me in the same way. Where is your proof and evidence that there is one motor vehicle, that I see a BMW and a Honda motorcycle over here? I'd pose that same challenge to you. Now, of course, I could never prove that there's only one motor vehicle in my driveway, but when I pose that challenge to you, you just basically said, because the Bible says there's one God. Am I correct? That is your proof.
Well, first of all, my notes here. You have a basic understanding of the Trinity, but not a very deep one. No disrespect, but you have a basic understanding of it. And now I did not try and prove the Trinity yet. I have not tried to do that. I've only tried to establish that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, and I quoted plenty of scriptures for that. I've not dealt with the relationship and the Trinitarian relationship from Scripture yet. I haven't done that yet. And you said the Bible clearly shows that there are two different gods. You then state that the Bible teaches there are two gods, but believe in one. What you do at this point is you are constructing a false syllogism, a false construction of logic. In other words, you are trying to get the Bible to contradict itself by the way you are constructing your argument. And in your construction of your argument, you're demonstrating, yet again, you do not understand the doctrine of the Trinity or the Incarnation. The Bible does not teach that there are two gods. The Bible contradicts that. For you to say the Bible teaches there are two gods, and then it says there's only one God, is a contradiction. We don't believe that, and the Bible does not teach that. It does not. So you can say that it does, but you're a Muslim. See, it would be like me coming to you and saying in the Quran actually teaches that Muhammad was a black man. And I said, anyway, and you say, what if I said that? And you said, no, it doesn't teach that. I said, well, that's what you say, but we do not really mean that. Well, who am I? I would say to you, does it teach this? No, yes or no? You know more about it than I would, I would hope. And I would therefore adapt my argument to what it is that you've studied and taught. I can tell you, the doctrine of the Trinity is that there's only one God, period. The three parts of that, one of those parts, so to speak, became man under the law, and under the law, he would call the Father his God. It does not mean there are two gods. The doctrine of the Trinity is that the one God can exist as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And by the very fact of it being Son in the doctrine of the Trinity means that it's monotheistic, which demonstrates that when you don't use it in a monotheistic sense, you're not understanding what it says. Go ahead.
You know, I never said, you know, the Bible teaches two gods. If you notice the words which I was using, it's very important to pay attention to detail so we can understand Trinity. Because I honestly believe, I really do understand this. I said the Bible presents two different gods, but it just tells you to believe in one God. In spite of that, that is what I said Trinity was. I gave an analogy, just like if I were to present you my BMW and the Honda, I were to show you that, and I said, you know what, just believe that there's one motor vehicle in my driveway. Anyone's going to ask the same question. Wait a second, I see two there. So what? And they would ask me, okay, Nadir, tell me what is your proof and evidence that I'm wrong, that there are not two motor vehicles there, and there is only one motor vehicle. So what I am asking you, Maslick, not to recite what you believe about the Trinity, what you believe about Jesus, I'm asking you to somehow show me that those two different gods in the Old Testament, they are all one. I'm sorry, in the New Testament, show me they are one God. Just like the same question I think anyone would ask. This is not a very tricky question. It's a question of common sense. The mic is yours.
Okay, you said the Bible presents two different gods. No, it doesn't. The Bible does not present two different gods. It does not present that. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There are no textual variants on this. This is an accurate translation. I can translate from the Greek into the English in John chapter 1, verse 1. There are no textual variants. In other words, in all the 5,600 supporting Greek manuscripts that we have, there's no error in them. There's no variant. That is what it says. This is the original writing. John the Apostle wrote this because he was alluding to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God made. Here, it's in the beginning the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Bible itself is teaching that there is a distinction within the nature of God. That God can be both the Word and the Word can be with God. This is what the Bible teaches. One of the things that you've got to be careful of is not to subject the Bible or the Quran or any other that you claim holy right to your understanding and say, this is how it must be because it doesn't make any sense otherwise. Well, you don't do that. For one, the Bible is a revelation of God. It says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. This is what the Bible says. Beware of that. When you go to two motorcycles, that's fine. Two motorcycles are not one motorcycle. Because by definition, a motorcycle, by definition, is a single unit, a single item. So therefore, if you have two single complete units, which is what a motorcycle is, a single and complete unit, a single and complete machine unto itself. When you say you have two motorcycles is not one motorcycle. We agree. But the analogy did not carry over to the doctrine of the Trinity because the single unit of the Trinity is three persons. And it is not the same thing as a motorcycle analogy. It's not a logical reference to the motorcycle analogy. Try to get you to understand this. The doctrine of the Trinity is that there is only one being, God. He exists in three persons. Look at it this way. Time is past, present, and future. Time is past, present, and future. The past is not the same as the present, which is not the same as the future. There are three aspects, but they're all by nature sharing the same essence, which is time. If you take, say, hypothetically, the present and acumen, the picture, you have a time man. You have this man with both time and you at the same time. Does it mean then that there's now three times or three whatever? No, it doesn't mean that. It simply means this part of what time is became one of us and we can now look at it. It doesn't mean that there's now a separate and additional being that would be time. This is an analogy. The doctrine of the Trinity must be represented in analogous terms sometimes. And it's a good analogy, this one of time. And if you understand the doctrine of the Trinity better, you know it cannot teach that there are more than one God. The nature of Latin, by definition itself, teaches there is only one God. If you want to say that the Bible says that there are possessed two gods, I would say you're wrong. It does not. It doesn't. So if you say it does, it's incorrect. It does not, because the Bible clearly teaches there's only one God. Paul taught this. Jesus taught it. James taught it. John taught it. One God. The Old Testament teaches it. There's one God. Well, therefore, he is one God. Yet, at the same time, Jesus, who believed in the one God, also claimed the divine name of God himself. He says, before Abraham was, I am. This is an encounter with God, not something man-made that we can grasp with our minds.
Thank you. I agree with you. You know, I'm not, I think maybe you're not understanding me. I am not saying that Trinity teaches two gods. I'm not saying that. Trinity teaches one God, but what Trinity does, it presents to you three or two to three different gods. Like inside that passage in the Bible, anyone can see that passage in the Bible. You got one God on the cross, but you got one God in heaven, and there are two different gods there. Now, I understand that you have been, basically what you've been doing is you've been saying Bible teaches one God, Trinity teaches one God. Fine, that is, you know, I'm accepting that, but I asked you for proof. Show me that these two different gods on the Bible is one God, and you, I don't think you are able to do so. I've already had this discussion with many people, and you're not willing to look at them as two different gods due to your Christian indoctrination, and you know, that's fine. It's not my job here to make people see the truth. It's not my job here to make the blind to see or to give life to the dead, but simply present the truth. So, Master Slick, I think what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this. But as I said, and I've quoted accurately, the Bible clearly presents two different gods. I can demonstrate it to anyone. Anyone, I mean, anyone reading that passage with any common sense can see that. But it tells you to believe in one God anyways, in spite of that. So that is something we are going to have to agree to disagree. And Christians, you have to understand, I think they tell themselves when they look at the Jesus on the cross and the God up in heaven, they see two gods like I do, but they hammer it in their heads, no, there's only one God there, because the Bible teaches one God. So I don't think we're really saying anything different. It's just that I don't think you want to go with me and take your belief and put it aside and look at the Bible and see the two gods. So, just to reiterate my point, when the Christians say that they believe in one God, what I would respond to them is that I respect the fact that you may think you believe in one God, but in reality, you believe in more than one God. And I don't think no matter how much Master comes up to the microphone and says, no, it's just one God, there's one God, Bible teaches one God, he will never be able to prove that there is only one God there. I've already demonstrated there's two gods. I've given an example like my motorcycle and my BMW car. If I were to go up and say, hey, you know, there's only one motor vehicle there, people are going to say, no, there's two. So I'm not coming from outer space. You see, I think this is common sense. So I'd like to move on to the next point, and let's just agree to disagree, Matt. Thank you.
Well, I certainly do disagree with you, because I disagree with you. Absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind that you are in error. You said, I type 80 words a minute, you said, I'm not saying that Trinity teaches two gods, I'm saying that Trinity presents two or three gods. That's a self-contradiction. And in so doing, you're saying that you're not understanding the issue of logic, self-contradictory, and you're not understanding the doctrine of Trinity. You see, you say you understand it, and then you talk how you do not. You know, is there a way to prove to you that there's only one God in the Bible? Well, let's get together sometime and I'll give you a lesson on the doctrine of the Trinity and how it's established being one God. The definition of the person means how the word person came to usage, the relationship between the Father and the Holy Spirit, how they claim to be the divine, and how they claim that there's only one God. I can do this. I don't know if you're willing to sit down and listen to it, because it is beyond scope and time limit of what we're going to have to do here. You just don't want to believe, this is my opinion, I'm not trying to read your mind or your heart, but it's apparent, it appears to me, you don't want to believe what the Bible says. And I don't think you can because, well, you're Muslim. You must try and say that there are two gods, and you must say that the Christians say there is one God, and you must assert that the reality is they believe in more than one God. What you do here is play the mind reader game with them. You're trying to tell us what Christians really believe, according to your logic. And you use a motorcycle analogy, which I've already demonstrated to you, is a false analogy, does not relate to the nature of doctrine of the Trinity, which I try to tell you, get over here, several times, you really don't understand. The nature of the doctrine of the Trinity itself is monotheistic. One God in three persons. You say, proof that there's only one God. Okay, Jesus is only one God. Paul said there's only one God. But you don't believe it. Show me how God cannot be three persons. There is no logical reason why he cannot be three persons. Why can't God? Just because Islam said it can't doesn't mean it's so. I don't buy that at all. I buy what Jesus says. Before Abraham was, I am. That's what Jesus said. You claim you follow him and believe him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the I am? When Moses spoke, I'll ask you a question now. When Moses asked God, who are you? And God said, I am that I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then Jesus says in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And they want to kill him for saying that. Why are they doing that? Why is Jesus claiming the divine title of God himself if he's not God? Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, I don't think you showed my analogy be false at all. And you say that this is a contradiction by saying that you can present two gods, but just teach that there's one God. There's no contradiction in that at all. I can present you two things, but my teaching is that they are one. It's very simple. But I think we're just going back to the same issue that, you know, you look at the same two gods on the Bible, and anyone here with common sense can see there's two gods there. But in spite of that, the Bible teaches there is one God. So it presents two gods, but just tells you to believe in one God. So I think we're just going around in circles on this. And you tried to make an attempt to prove that there is one God. You took a stab at it, which is at least, that's pretty good. But your proof was you quoted verses showing there is one God, which goes back to what I've just pretty much been saying all along, that, you know, the Bible, you are basically, well, I'm sorry, what you're basically doing is that you're stating your belief about that. Well, I believe that Jesus God there and the Holy Ghost God, the God in heaven, they're all one God. All you're doing is just stating what you believe about it. You are not proving it to me. And that is what is, I guess, a disconnect we're having. You basically asked me to, venture with you in the Bible and talk about verses which deify Jesus. If you've been listening to what I'm saying all along, I'm saying the Bible presents to God. That means the Bible makes Jesus into a God. So there's no point of doing that, you see. And I don't believe in the Bible because I believe throughout history the Bible has been altered and changed. But that is not for this discussion. Let's tackle that issue later on. Maybe we can have another dialogue and talk about that. So I'm ready to go to the next topic.
The topic was to discuss the God of Christianity. In Christianity, Jesus Christ is God. Therefore, who Jesus is perfectly germane to the topic at hand. To say that it is not, again, demonstrates to me and to others that you don't understand who Jesus really is in relation to doctrine and purity. Now, I did tackle your motorcycle analogy. I did demonstrate to you by saying that each motorcycle is a unit complete unto itself that is not the doctrine of three gods, or that, that Jesus is a God, a unit unto himself, because the Bible says, or the Trinity doctrine is, that there's one unit, God, three persons. It's a different thing. I did tackle that. You cannot accept it. You won't accept it because you're a Muslim and you can't. There is no proof for you. If there's a proof for you, you have to convert. But your presupposition will not allow that. There is no proof. It's like me trying to prove for an atheist, there's a God. There is no proof for you. Because your presuppositional base will not allow it. It's an unfair thing to say, prove it to me. Really? How do I prove something to you that you will not accept? And you will not accept it. I can't prove it to you. And that is the fault of the question that you say, prove it to me. If I need to say to you, prove to me Muhammad is a true prophet of God, you wouldn't be able to do it. My presupposition will not allow it because I trust what Christ says above what Muhammad says. The Bible does not present Jesus as a God. You keep going to this, and this is the crux of your argument. You want to say the Bible says Jesus is a God, and that the Father is another God, and the Holy Spirit may be another God, if you haven't done that one yet. But that's not what it teaches. So I suggest at this point that we just drop this and go on, because you don't understand the incarnation and the doctrine of the Trinity sufficiently to be able to really get into it very deeply. And I have asked you a question that is very relevant to this subject. The nature of the Christian God. We claim Jesus Christ is God, the Word, in flesh. Jesus, who's God, the Word, in flesh. If you ask me a question, my turn to ask you a question. Why would Jesus lay claim to the divine title of God himself in John 8:58 when he says before Abraham was, I am? When God says to Moses, I am that I am. That's my question for you. Go ahead.
Your question actually is very easy to answer. You said, why did Jesus claim this? Well, I think what you're doing, you're quoting the Bible. I don't believe that the Bible is an accurate record of what Jesus taught. This is, like I mentioned, this is a book which has been changed from generation to generation. Priests and et cetera have put in their own theology in there. So that is why I'm not saying, you know, I'm not using the Bible as any kind of standard for myself. I don't believe in the Bible. Nevertheless, I don't deny that there could be some authentic words of Jesus in there. But, you know, it also has the words of man in there. So I don't use the Bible as my source of information. You mentioned that you tried to explain why my analogy does not pertain to the Bible. Well, you said because you show that each one is an individual unit, and that contradicts what the Bible says. Yes, it contradicts one part of the Bible where it says there is one God. But it doesn't contradict the other part. You see, my analogy contradicts your belief that there is one God. But it does not contradict showing that Jesus is on the cross, and then you got the God in heaven, and there's two gods there clearly. Anyone you bring that, you will see there are two gods there, but the Bible just tells you, believe in one God. Anyways, as far as proving Muhammad, peace be upon him, I have no problem with that. I believe I can present many rational evidences for this claim, for the prophecy. It's not something based upon blind faith. Again, that's another discussion. We'll have to probably make up another time to talk about that. Therefore, let me move on to my next point. Your analogies that you've been giving, you know, you said that God is like time, past, present, and future. Okay, up to this point, what I demonstrated was that there was the Bible presented two gods, but just tells you to believe in one. That is what the Bible states. Now let's turn over and see what's in Matt's head. Let us see if this analogy really shows one God. And what you will see, that there is no doubt that this man, Reverend Max Slick, you believe in three gods, no question about it. Let me show you why. In your analogy of past, present, and future, this is how you understand God. If someone came and told you that Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I believe all these days, but there's only one day, anyone is going to come and tell you, hey man, you believe in three different days. You gave us three different days. Yes, they're all time, but they're all different chunks of time. You see, so again, I'm going to have to go back to the same point. So now we're switching from the Bible to Matt Slick. Matt Slick, it is very obvious and clear that you believe in more than one God by the analogy you gave me. That does not show there's one God. It's like me coming and telling you that I believe in one girl, Martha, Jen, and Cindy, the Brady Bunch. But they're all girls. Therefore, I believe in one girl. No, that's not. You don't believe in one girl. You believe in three different girls. Therefore, what it comes back to, it'll always come back to this, no matter what, that the Christians clearly believe in more than one God in reality, but they just think that they are worshiping one God, and Matt Slick has hammered this belief in his head so much to the point that he's not willing to really look beyond his belief and see what the Bible is clearly presenting. So please explain, if this analogy is not showing you believe in three gods, then how do you explain this analogy that's actually teaching one God? Please, your mic is yours.
Alright, it's going to get a little tough in here. There's a reason you asked me many questions that I've answered tonight. I've been polite, and I've sat there and I've taken a lot of notes and written down your questions or comments, and I've responded to them. I asked you twice the question about Jesus in John 58, and all you did was dismiss it. And then you went on to add more credit. That is not acceptable here. You must respond to my question. Oh, this debate, this discussion is going to be over. You can't just say, I don't believe the Bible, therefore I answered you. Now let me ask you another question, Matt. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. And before I present my argument here about the types of the Bible, and then we'll get to John 58 again, you didn't want to say that it was obvious that I believe in two gods. You see, this is where you make another mistake. You should not try and read my heart and my mind and tell the room what I believe. I would not do that of you. I would not say to the room, it is obvious that let us reason really believe such and such, when you would contradict me and say, no, I don't believe that. I would assume you would know what you believe better than what I know what you believe. So when you start saying that I really believe in something contrary to what they're telling me that I believe in, you're essentially calling me a liar. I attack my character. And I know that may not be what you're intending to do, and you may be trying to undermine my reasonableness here, but I think you're starting to step on some dangerous area here. You should show some respect and understand that I do not believe in more than one God. I do not. I understand this a lot better than you do. I do not believe in more than one God. I never have. And I work against that teaching constantly in Christianity in my debates. Now, about the Bible, you said the Bible is not trustworthy. Well, really, let's look at the New Testament alone. The New Testament documents were written originally in Greek. There's a little bit of debate on one of them, but that's okay. There are, I think it's 5,600 some odd supporting Greek manuscripts. In other words, there are over 5,600 copies of these Greek manuscripts. Guess what? The textual accuracy is of them. Among themselves, you take them all and you combine them together and you look and any variations, they're 99.5% textually pure. That means just one half of 1% of any of all the text that has any textual variation at all. And if you understood anything about that, you'd know that even most of those are nothing and have no issue to deal with. This is a relevant issue because you say the Bible isn't trustworthy. So if you have
Mr. Matt, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry about that. But now we go in off of the topic now. We go in off of the topic. Oh, what is it? Is there? Oh, come on. He shouldn't be like that. Maybe he's disconnected, so wait for him. I don't think that he got mad. I just want to let him know that he went out off the topic, you know. We need to bring the same topic. Okay, please invite him back, Nadal. Invite him back. It doesn't look good that he looks like that, if he looks, you know, that made me call the candidate. He was just responding to the phone. Well, try to invite him back. Invite him back, please. Okay, and Dana, the other admin, would you please invite your friend back? Would you please invite your friend back, please? Yes, thank you. Matt, please raise your hand, Matt. I did not mean going to raise back your door, just because you started to go out of the topic, you know, we need to be in the same topic, please. So, mic is yours, Matt. Matt.
This is why we need a Christian moderator in here. I was not off topic. He ignored my question and dismissed it on a false ground. I'm correcting the reason for his dismissal so that he will then be required to answer the question. I have been very, very consistent in answering most every single question I could record from him so that I can write it down and I can answer it. When I ask him a question, he ignored it. He dismisses it and then goes on. And it was not off topic, because it deals with the nature of who God is, which is what the topic is. Jesus Christ in Christianity is God in flesh. It is not off topic at all. For him to say, you know what, I don't trust the Bible, therefore I don't have to answer it, is not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. I'm trying to establish the Bible is indeed reliable so that he doesn't have the excuse to ignore the question. That's the issue. If you ever doubt me again, I'm gone. The debate is over and I'm going to come back. So, the question again stands. Since you have quoted, let us reason, you have quoted, you speak, it's still in here, you have quoted the Bible against me. When I quote it against you, you don't want to answer it. You say, sorry, I don't trust it, I'm not going to answer it. Doesn't work that way. Here's the question. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. God said to Moses, I am that I am. Why did Jesus claim the divine title of God himself? That's my question to you, let us reason.
Okay, this is your order. This is tonight, so we can get this question in good manner. Okay, I'm sorry, Matt, if I didn't get it back to you, but I thought that you only tell us the topic. Anyhow, okay, sorry, you have other ideas. Okay, so be my fault. I apologize for that. What I noticed that the topic is God in Islam and God in Christianity. But if you give him, for example, a verse from the Bible, and you have to answer him that verse from the Bible, that's not the topic. I can do that with you, man. Another side, if you like it, if you accept it, I can have it. The Bible, all this is going to be from the Bible, and I prove to you that Jesus is never done another time for the very life, but it should be presented that from the Bible. I mean, he has to talk from the Islamic perspective, who is God, and he talks from the Christianity perspective, who is God, as far as I know. So, in that reason, you take the mic and answer that nicely. Answering Islam, you will have to wait for a little while until you finish.
Thank you. Just to answer Matt, I've already told him, Bible teaches Jesus is God. So quoting a certain verse to me is not going to, I think, really do anything. I've been saying that. I don't believe in the Bible. You know, I've studied the textual criticism of the Bible, and I believe that it has gone, underwent changes. And so that is my belief. Now, what's going to happen here, and I don't fault the moderator for doing this. We're going to get into a debate on the Bible and the text and the historical reliability of the Bible. We're going to go way off topic. So I'm sorry, I'm going to have to agree with him. Let's stick to the concept of God in Islam and Christianity. You asked me why I don't believe in these verses. You're quoting me from your book. I gave you the answer. So that may be a good follow-up discussion to this discussion. We can do it another time. Is the Bible reliable? And I'd be more than willing to debate that with you. Okay, I want to get off this topic. This is kind of getting a touchy topic, and let's go on to another one. Matt, you know, it says there inside the Bible that, you know, Jesus was born of a woman. We as Muslims also believe Jesus was born of a woman. But, you know, I have a hard time accepting that God Almighty turned himself into this little baby and came out of this reproductive organ of a woman, you know, kicking and screaming like a baby, peeing and pooping his pants like a baby would. Now, I have a very hard time accepting that God Almighty turned himself into this baby that has come out with all this amniotic fluid on him, and I just picture that, and I'm like, wait a second, no way. This is, cannot be God. Could you enlighten me a little bit on this? The mic is yours, man.
Well, we have a problem. You see, if you don't like what the Bible says, you dismiss it. You still did not answer my question. I've asked you a legitimate question. See, the problem here is that you will use your Bible against me, and you'll try to, and you'll quote Christ himself. But you have no problem doing that when you are trying to support your position. But as soon as I do the same thing and try and support my position with the Bible, you then say, sorry, I don't trust it, and you can't do that. So you are now being inconsistent. If you are going to use the Bible, then you need to answer to the Bible. If I were to have an argument with you in the Quran, I would not, after you ask me a question, say, sorry, I don't do the Quran, not the answer. What kind of a response is that? It's not a fair response, and it's not a good response. You can say you don't believe the Bible, that's fine. Well, then don't quote it. And then don't use it as an authority in our discussion and to say, the Bible really teaches this, because what you're saying here, the Bible does teach this, so this is what we're teaching, this is what's going on. And yet, when I tell you that, we argue that the Bible really teaches, and then when I ask you a question about what Jesus says, sorry, I'm not going to answer because, you know what, I don't believe the Bible. You're being inconsistent here, and I'm going to still stick on the subject. John 8:58. I'm looking at the Greek right now, Nestle Allen Greek text. I'm looking at what it says in the Greek right here. I'm looking at the notes, and there are no textual variants here. This means this is an accurate copy of what Jesus said. In fact, there are no textual variations here. There are no copies anywhere existing anywhere that contradict exactly as I've quoted it from the Greek. In here, in this room, it is absolutely accurate. There is nothing contrary to it in any manuscript, okay? This is an accurate copy. It's an accurate presentation of what Jesus himself said. Before Abraham was, I am. I'm asking you the question. Since you used the Bible, then answer it. Why would Jesus claim the divine title of God if he's not God? Why would he do that? Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'm not being inconsistent. I believe I'm being consistent in my study and research of the Bible. But I think what you are getting me to do is that, like, for example, you asked me about this verse in the Bible. I said, hey, man, wow, the Bible is claiming Jesus to be God. But I don't believe that the Bible is accurate. I don't believe in the Bible. Therefore, what my personal belief about the Bible has no bearing over this, so long as I'm using it consistently. And I think that's a disconnect we're having. So, yeah, I mean, how many times do I have to come up to the microphone and say, wow, the Bible does teach in a human God, a God, man-worshipping? How many times do I have to come up and say that? So I don't believe that I'm being inconsistent. Anyway, the microphone is yours. I forgot the last question you were asking me. Okay, go ahead and take the microphone. I forgot what you were saying.
Well, then, you admit, because you say the Bible teaches that Jesus is a God or whatever, as you say, a God, which is a little bit incorrect, but you admit that the Bible teaches Jesus is divine, and Jesus is claiming it. You just don't want to believe it, because you don't think the Bible is accurate. That's your prerogative. So you do believe it, or excuse me, you do admit the Bible does teach it. That's good. Is the Bible accurate? Yes, it is. That's another discussion. So Jesus did claim, according to the Bible, he did claim to be God in flesh. You just don't want to believe what Jesus said, even though there is absolutely no textual evidence whatsoever of any kind that contradicts what Jesus said. There's no evidence for it whatsoever. You're not able to answer that. So, you can go on there separate. Go ahead.
I just wanted to correct you on one thing. You said, I don't believe what Jesus said. You see, what I'm trying to inform you, Matt, is that I don't believe Jesus said those things. I believe those are the words of men, because I believe the Bible has been changed. Now you're dragging me into a Bible debate, so I just, you know, I think it's kind of getting off the topic. And I think, you know, first of all, let me just address why I don't believe in the Bible very quickly. The Bible which you have today is based off a set of manuscripts. These manuscripts are copies of copies of copies of copies. They're not original manuscripts. That's number one. Number two, the question which I would like to ask is, how do we know that those copies and copies and copies are based on an original manuscript? original copies. How do we know that they're copies of original? They could be copies of a fabricated document. They could be the copies of an altered document, and that is the reason why I don't believe in the Bible. Anyway, I want to move into the next. I would like for you to answer my question as far as God being born of a woman and turning himself into a small little baby. And I'm asking you, is this, do I have this right? This is what the Bible teaches.
Let me just make one comment about something and then I'll answer that question. You have an iron of silence. You say we have no originals and so therefore we can't trust it. In other words, you don't have any evidence of the contrary, so you're arguing for what we don't have. That's not a very good place to go on your part. Was God born as a baby? No, not God as the Trinity. Was the Word born as a baby? Yes, he was. Did the Word make flesh poop? Yes. Did he whine? Yes. Did he suckle the breast of a woman? Yes. Did he grow? Yes, he did. Did he speak words? Yes. Did he go to the bathroom? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You may not like it, and your son may not like it, but it makes no difference on what the truth is. Whether or not we like something has no bearing on truth. The issue is it true or not? And that's the question. It always comes down to, is the Bible trustworthy? Because if it is, then it's true. If it's not, well, then you can't trust it, can you? That's really what it comes down to. And I have no problem with God becoming one of us. Why can't he? Is there a reason he can't become one of us? Is there a reason he can't? Who else is going to remove our sins? Us? Not going to happen. God's going to be the one who does. I can give you all kinds of logical reasons why he needs to be God. Why God has to do it. As he prophesied he would in the Old Testament.
Okay, so I guess what I understand from your response is that God was born of a woman. God turned himself into the flesh of a man, or in this case a baby, and made himself, and basically was born of a woman. He peed, he pooped, and etc., as you mentioned. I guess, you know, all I'm just saying is that from an Islamic perspective, you know, we believe that we say Allahu Akbar when we hear something like that. We say God is greater than that. And I explained many, many reasons what Islam has came to abolish, like false worship, the belief in man worshiping, etc., etc. But this is also another thing which Islam has come to correct, and that is teachings and doctrines which degrade God to a very lowly level. And in fact, there is a prayer which the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us, in which Rasulullah said, Subhanallah, Allah is free from the imperfections which man gives God. So we believe that this is a kind of very blasphemous and kind of an insulting way to depict God as a baby, you know, suckling a woman's breast, coming out of the birth organ of a woman, and peeing and pooping his pants. But like he said, it's what the Bible teaches and it's what you believe. So I'll give you a chance to answer that, and I'll ask my next question.
Well, to be honest, it's not God who became flesh, it's the Word that became flesh. Now, let's just be more specific, it's the Word that became flesh. And really, who cares what Islam says about this? Because it has no bearing on what is true. The issue is whether or not it is true objectively. It is not an issue of whether it's true because someone likes it or does not like it, because of preference, and I don't think that would work, or I don't like that, has no bearing whatsoever on the nature of what truth and reality is. The issue is, can it happen? Is there any logical reason why it cannot? There's no logical reason why God can't become a man. Not at all. You have many cultures you believe it happens. Some people believe it can happen, and it can be logical. Just because Islam denies it, has no bearing on reality. It's only the opinion of Muslims that say it can't happen. And it, again, has no bearing on the truth of the facts. Instead, those who knew Jesus wrote about this. Don't forget what it says in the Old Testament. Even the Old Testament prophets prophesied this. Most people say all the Old Testament's not trustworthy also. Zechariah 12:10, God says, I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, so that they will look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, in order for that to be true, God had to become a man. In order for him to become a man, he's got to be born. Yeah, he does have to do all the rest of that stuff. as a man, we have someone who speaks to the Father for us. We have Jesus, the God-man. Oh, I'm sure thankful for him. Go ahead.
Just one quick question. I'm a little bit confused. When Jesus was a baby, was he God or was he not? And Mike, it's yours.
When Jesus was a baby, he was the Word, which was God, made flesh. He was both divine and human at the same time. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, John 1, 1, 1, 14, go ahead.
Okay, I have one more question. I don't want to get into, a whole interpretation debate on the Bible about Trinity or Jesus being God in the New Testament, Old Testament. I've seen those debates, and I think it's a matter of, interpretation. But my question to you, I think, is very specific. Do we have any kind of archaeological evidence or historical evidence of any community of Hebrews believing in Trinity? Do we have any kind of evidence of that?
I don't know if we have any evidence of that. So I can't answer yes or no to that. But what do you think this debate is about? It's about the Trinity and the deity of Christ. You said you don't want to debate the Trinity and the deity of Christ. That's what we're doing. That's the whole debate's about. Go ahead.
Okay, so I think the answer, I've researched that and I've seen no. And that's probably why Jews don't believe in Trinity. Trinity, the interpretation of Trinity first hit the scene after Jesus left this earth, and I think you can agree with me on that, but before then, we've never seen any kind of scholar or community of people believing in this, and I believe that is, what history tells us. Let's see if I have any more questions here. No, I think that's about it. I'm wondering, I guess, could we make 1 minute closing remarks, moderator?
I want to respond to that. So the Jews don't believe in Trinity. Yeah, but that has no bearing on what the truth is. The Bible does teach a Trinity, and Jesus himself did say, baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus himself spoke about the Father, Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, and he spoke about himself being the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes through him, the Father by him, and he said, unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Just dismissing that the Bible is not sufficient for you does not change the reality of what Christ said.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. And thank you, Roger. So I think the next 15 minutes will be questions and answers. From the people in the room. Is that right, Nathan, or not? Let me know. Let's do questions. Sure. And 1 minute, close the remark. Okay, Nathan, take the mic and explain to me for the next 15 minutes what you like to do. Nathan, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to open up for question and answer time. But let's go ahead and start with 1 minute closing remarks. A lot was discussed, so I think we can spend one time in bringing it to an end. Why don't Matt go first since I went first, speaking last? So the mic is yours, Matt.
I'm going to conclude with what Jesus says. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Jesus rose from the dead. He walked on water. He claimed to be God. It's an awful lot of stuff for you to say that the Bible's all wrong about all that. That's an awful lot. And particularly the others that we support them. And thanks for the debate. Thanks for the discussion. And appreciate that. And hopefully the questions go well. Go ahead.
Thank you. I think a lot was discussed here. And, one thing which is clear is that Max Slick's views are based upon the Bible, but the question comes is whether the Bible is really true and accurate, and that will be another debate, hopefully. We can do that next, but let me just summarize what exactly Islam says. And this is what a Muslim, this is what a person has to believe in to be saved and to go to heaven. Basically, the belief in the one God, which is the same God as Abraham, Moses, Isaac, and Jacob. And we saw that they never really believed in a Trinity or worshiped Jesus as God. This was a much later development when this belief arised. Islam clearly denies any kind of man-worshipping or animal-worshipping. The belief about God coming in the form of a man is what we saw in Christianity. This belief is not new. Rather, we see this reoccurring in so many pagan religions. And I gave many examples of man-worshipping man-worshipping other men as gods. So it's not something new here, but this is not the belief of Abraham and of the prophets. We also believe that Jesus Christ was a mighty messenger of God. We believe in Jesus, but that he was a messenger, and he didn't come to this earth to tell people that he was God or that he was involved in a Trinity. And the last thing which I mentioned was that in Islam, it teaches that no man or child or anything is equal to God in any way. It doesn't matter whether it's priest Melchizedek or Jesus, God is superior to all. And the last thing, point I mentioned is basically my view, which I stated, that the Bible does teach or it does present two different gods, but tells people that there's only one God. Let's open for question and answer time.
Okay, I just want to thank you, Nader. Thank you, Matt. So the question is going to be what? One in one? So one question for Nader, one question for Matt. For Matt, or how would you like to do it, Or whoever asks. Because I see the line is like, all of them are Christians, so Nader will have to answer everything. It's okay. Okay, but the question, please, it has to be related to the topic, not off of the topic. So answering Islam, my answer is yours.
Yes. Before I go, is my sound coming in clearly? Can someone put a one in the text? Okay. That's good. There are so many issues brought up, and everyone can see Matt did a superb job. Here's my question. This is for Let Us Reason. There's so many, but I'm going to focus on one. Earlier he had made the claim that the Quran says there's nothing comparable to Allah. Nothing in creation is comparable to Allah. And I'm in agreement with that. Yet he gave the example of saying that if you see two vehicles in my garage, and I say they're one, it would make no sense. But now I have a problem with that analogy. If nothing is comparable to Allah, then why is it he has to use an example within creation and compare it to the oneness of Allah, which assumes that Allah's oneness corresponds to things in creation? But if he's unlike creation, then his oneness will also be unlike that in creation. So can you explain the logical fallacy of that argument? And related to this is that I know that Let Us Reason believes Allah has eyes, he has a shin, he has legs, and he says that even though he has these in a real way, they're not like anything in creation. Now, I want him to convince us in the room that when he says Allah has eyes, they're not like eyes we see in creation, because he might claim it, but I don't believe it. Just like he said about we saying there's one God and three persons, but it's still actually more than one God. Like he said, I can't make a blind person see or a dead man come to life. So let him explain that. And let Matt respond. I yield the mic.
Sure, that's very easy. The analogy is actually right on. I was not comparing anything to any of God's attributes because nothing is comparable unto God. But what I was comparing is a passage in the Bible. You see that there are two gods there, very clear. You got one God on the cross, one God up in heaven. So my question is, and I give an analogy where if I present you two things, then how is it that you're going to tell me that they are one? Please show me some proof that they are one. But when it comes to comparing God and his attributes, God's holiness, or, something like this, yes, there's nothing that we can compare God with because he's absolutely unique in Islam. As for having eyes and shins and stuff like that, it's very easy to answer. As it says in the Quran, Laysa kamithlihi shay, there is nothing, sorry about that, I dropped the mic. There is nothing equal or comparable to God. Therefore, we say when it says Allah has hands or something like that, we affirm he has hands, but his hands are not like our hands. That is my point over there. And so basically nothing can be compared to God. And so that is the context of the Quran. And I'm not having a double standard, because I'm saying Allah does in the Quran says, yes, Allah has hands, but he says his hands are not like mine. So I'm being consistent with the Quran, and I believe I was consistent with the Bible. Allah does present hands. I'm not saying that he doesn't, you see. So that is a different. And I think that was it. So I'll give the mic to Matt.
Thank you. I'll make it as briefly as quick as I can. Hope you all got you off good. When he says one God on the cross and one God up in heaven, this is your interpretation, your imposition upon the text that you didn't even believe in the first place. That's not what the Bible teaches. You commit the fallacy of equivocation. The Trinity is that there is one God, and that this one God is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But then you say Jesus is a God, thereby contradicting the doctrine of the Trinity that you say you understand. This is a demonstration of you not understanding the doctrine of the Trinity and then trying to impose upon the text what it does not say when it does not say that there are two gods. Good.
Well, I got a question for Mr. Max. Like you said, that there's a baby God, that Jesus was a baby God, he came out of a woman, and then he had a father. Just one question, if there's a baby God, a mom, papa God, but where's mama God? Can you tell me that? Where's the whole family of God? You're only talking about the baby and the father, but where's the mother? Where's the mama God? Answer this for me, please.
Hey, I'd love to. Go to a Mormon church, because the Mormon church teaches that there's a God, the Father, another God, the Mother, another God, and she's a goddess, given another planet, and they have sexual relations and produce offspring, and then you have baby gods. So that's Mormonism, which of course is a non-Christian cult. We don't say that. And no, we don't say Jesus was a baby God. No, we don't say that. We say that he is the Word who became flesh. And that, as the Bible says in Philippians 2:5-8, he's just the Word who became flesh. He's not about baby God, but he was born as a man, and the divine nature was within the body of Christ in the human sense. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
If I could just respond to that, I think, you know, Matt's response is pretty much, you know, the whole problem of what we're having here. I think the disconnect we're having, Matt, is you say you don't say that a baby God, but you believe that there's a baby God, whether you say it or not, and that this baby God was peeing and pooping his pants, but you yourself see, hey, wait a second, there's something wrong with this, and that's why you refrain from saying baby God. So, but you do believe that baby in the cradle, that was God and man both. But you do believe that was God in the cradle. The mic is yours to the next person.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask a question to let us read. Now, I'm posting the scripture because you claim that you said that the Trinity came after later days. And you quoted an age like 300 some years after the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Okay? Can you please read Isaiah 48:16 and tell me what you think of it? Actually, tell us, what do you think of it?
Yeah, actually, I can answer that very clearly. And I believe what I said to, you know, Matt Slick, is that rather getting into a Bible debate, because there's a whole debate on this, whether Trinity is in the Bible or not. The question which I posed to Matt Slick is that, do we have any kind of historical or archaeological evidence that believes Isaiah 46 was, in fact, a Trinitarian God? And I don't think we have any. So I don't want to get into sort of, you know, this verse means that. No, my interpretation of this verse means that. I was looking to see, did Jews and the early believers of this book, did they really view that there was a Trinity? And the answer is no. The mic is yours, about the age.
I get to respond, remember? Short response. Well, hey, let's go to the Bible. Genesis 19:24. Jehovah, or Yahweh, rained fire and brimstone from Yahweh out of heaven. Jehovah rained fire and brimstone from Jehovah out of heaven. There's certainly a duality there. And we can go to other verses where God is seen and there's plurality within the Godhead in the Old Testament. Just because some Jews didn't believe it doesn't mean that that isn't true. See, the issue is, what does the Bible say? Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Let me start off by saying thank you to both to Matt and Brother Jason. I would like to ask Brother Matt, so far I came to the conclusion that Jesus and God are the same. But in the Bible, I read that you know, God cannot be tempted with evil or by Satan, but Jesus was tempted by Satan. Could you tell me what's your views on that, please? And I'll help you with this verse. Thank you.
Actually, that's a good question, and I've written about it and answered it on our website. Actually, tempted God or tested him in the Old Testament, used to offer a temptation. Of course, God didn't fall for it. The standard answer is this. Jesus has two natures, both God and man, both divine and human. As a man, he would walk and talk and could be tempted. As divine, he wouldn't be tempted. This is not just a fairly make us up thing. This is called a hypostatic union, and this is what it is. It's the two issues of Christ. I'll put a URL in there about what's said from Scripture. This is a common Christian theology, and Muslims need to understand it. They don't accept it, but they should understand it because it answers the questions. But you can say he's just made up of, you know, we've got another topic. But it's called a hypostatic union. I'll put in a URL for that with it.
Yeah, if I could respond to that very quickly. I understand the hypostatic union, but here's the thing, that, you know, we have to accept that when Jesus was tempted, that both God and man being tempted according to your own interpretation. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that when you see Jesus being tempted, oh no, that's not his God part, that's the human part being tempted. We don't read that. It is both God and man being tempted by this, you know, temptation. There's also one thing I forgot to respond to answering Islam, which is Sam Shimon. You know, about these analogies given for the Trinity, and I said that, you know, when you look at these analogies, it becomes crystal clear that you believe in more than one God. And I'm not trying to read anyone's heart, I'm just going by what the analogy you give me. Now, Sam Shimon gave me an analogy that God is like Abraham and his son Isaac. Now, how are you going to tell me this is one God? If this is your understanding that God and Jesus are like Abraham and Isaac, then it's very clear you believe in two gods, but in fact, you believe, you know, you may think you're, I mean, sorry, you may believe that you're thinking that you're believing in one God, but in fact, you are believing two. So there's just another example. The mic is yours.
Well, I wanted to repeat that, first of all. We don't believe in two gods. That's ridiculous. But my question is to you, actually, let us reason. You say that you have the original text that you pull from the Injil, which you don't have the Injil. So you yourself do not have any original text. So I don't know where you're coming off saying the Bible is just nothing but an addition or whatever you call that. You don't have any Injil, so you don't know what was said before because you don't have anything to compare it to outside of the Bible. The God of Abraham and Isaac, all the same God. Your mic.
Okay, so this is good to tell now. Okay, I don't think that Nader looked out and said that he has the original Injil. The Injil is mentioned in the Bible, I mean in the Quran, he has the word that we should believe in the original books, which is the Injil, the Gospel, and the Torah, but the original one. Not the recent one, not the latest copy that King James Version and etc. Okay,
Mr. Peter, my dear. Yeah, I think, well, that's, again, we're kind of getting off the topic on the concept of God in Islam and Christianity. But yeah, there are no original documents for the Bible, and yes, much of the message of Jesus was lost. What we have are only fragments, and that is why I do not rely on the Bible. And there's lots of debates on this, and I'll be more than happy to discuss with Matt Slick on the authenticity of the Bible. Is it authentic or not? But we'll have to do that for another time.
Yes, we could. And let me quote the Surah 287 and 4163:33. So they talk about how God gave this to the prophets, and how the Quran says that there is no one who can alter the words and decrees of Allah, and no one can change his words. So if you gave it to Jesus and the apostles, then the Bible is correct. Go ahead.
Just to respond to that, when it says that no one can change the words of Allah, this is, if you look at the context, it's talking about the decree of Allah. Like, for example, you look at how Jesus was born. He is the word of Allah. Be and it is. And when Allah says be and it is, no one can change that. So they're not talking about manuscripts or books. So that is the proper context. Next question.
I'm sorry about that. Okay, our friend Islam, you should take my permission before you post any link in the text. In the beginning, Mr. Matt refused me to put any links. So please, you should have my permission. I was going to adopt anybody who put any links. I could put my links also as well. So this should be, or make it clear for both of us, Christian and Muslim. Okay, Matt, my pleasure, Mr. Matt. Or who is the term? Did someone know the term? I don't think so. Okay, Matt, my pleasure.
We have a problem now. Now you're saying, in the debate I'm in, I can't put those links. That's a problem. You think I'm answering Islam, which I don't approve of. And we were supposed to have one question directed to an individual, and he would answer it, and then the other person would respond once, then the next question. Muhammad, see, you were supposed to catch this. That's your job as a moderator. I responded, and then I believe, and if I got it wrong here, I believe this reason had two responses to this, and he didn't jump on that. Well, let's get some equity going here, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I found it interesting that you stated that you have a different God than the Jews do, so thus you have a different God than Abraham does and Jesus does and Moses does and all that. I'll just have to say,
Okay, it's my fault, man. I really apologize for that. Okay, Angelic. You have it was too noisy. Try to pick the mic again and respond and give your question. Please, pick the mic. I'm gonna unbug you now.